Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week I try to bring to the show people I feel that are really at the cutting edge of a spiritual, scientific, social revolution that's happening in this country and the world. And tonight's guests are two people who are really dedicated to change, evolution, and the upliftment of humanity, and we'll be talking about the state of the world as we know it and as we will know it. They are Dr. Desiree Hertok and Dr. James Hertok. Are you both there?
We're here. It was a privilege to be part of your program and its worldwide outreach.
Thank you, and you are one of the most popular guests here, so I'm very interested in the progress that you see over the last year and months of basically where are we heading. I mean, right now gas is at its highest that it's ever been, probably close to $5 or coming close to an election. There's political movements, there's environmental movements, there's a swelling in spiritual movement. We're having disclosures from files, secret files about UFOs from governments. I mean, we are in probably the most dynamic state as a planetary race that we've been in thus far in our history. Would you say that? So give me a summation, either one of you, and then tell me where we're going as you see it.
Well, let me start out. This is Dr. JJ, and I've got a background in social science. Desiree has a background in environmental science. We both have backgrounds both in Oriental science, philosophy, as well as, in my case, remote sensing technology and research. In so many words, everything is up for grabs. We were participating last year in September 2007 at the high-level meeting at the United Nations on climate change. And certainly, if you look at the startling realities of what we as a planetary society face, it's much of a cosmic turnoff. We know that in terms of the intergovernmental panel on climate change, global atmospheric concentrations of the greenhouse gases are going through the roof. The 2005 concentrations of carbon dioxide exceeded the natural range over the last 650,000 years, if you can believe that. These are very, very specific charts. We look at the melting of glaciers and ice caps, five times as fast as the mathematical model suggested some 10 years ago. We find further decline of mountain glaciers projected to reduce water that is essential for indigenous populations in the mountains of Colombia and Peru and South America regions, also in Africa. Heavy participation in coastal pollution and just the whole intense cycle of big industry putting more and more coal-burning situations online in China brings a bleak future for the world. But you're going to have megacities of some 6 million plus in each of these 50-plus new cities of China that claim on one hand they're going to be able to control waste products, but on the other hand, because gas and coal are natural resources in China, you're going to have a lot of radiation increased. So it looks very, very problematic on one hand, yet from the standpoint of our work with the Keys of Enoch, which is a paraphysical text we published in 73, we're getting closer and closer to a cosmic awakening and recognition that there are cosmic cultures in outer space that have been beyond the quagmire we face as a planetary society, reaching out to us, and I believe Project Disclosure in all of its forms and under its various names and categories, that is to say, documents released by the French, the Brazilian, and now more recently this past month by the British government, the UK government through the spokesperson, Nick Pope, states that we are, in a sense, being looked at and observed by other life forms. And we're talking about very sophisticated levels of documentation, thousands of pages of which are going to be released in six different phases by the authorities. And so we lecture with Nick Pope. We lectured at the UN. We've lectured with futurist, that the game of life and the reality is we must now choose to go either with an upward pathway of understanding or simply be part of the undertow of negativism and destruction that rains down upon us from all directions.
That's right. Actually, Alan, we're Academy for Future Science. That's our organization,
right,
and we're some of the founders
that.
Of this, and it's a worldwide organization. But we use that name because we think that there will always be a future and there will always be science. So we have to look at the positive changes that we're going through as being really an evolutionary quantum leap. As Dr. Tech mentioned, we were just in the UK and talking with Nick Pope, who's part of the working with the National Archives for the British government, who's releasing their UFO files. And while we were there, he was also releasing a recent sighting in Cardiff, Wales, that's the western part of the UK, where there was a police helicopter with three policemen, and basically they were buzzed or almost kicked out of the sky, so to speak, by a UFO. And this really took about a week or two to be released to the public, but finally it got released, and it really doesn't seem like there's any way of putting it down. I know with the Stevensville UFO sightings, there was nothing said for 2 weeks, and then the government started saying that there was, some flights of F-16s over that area, and so
well,
that was
Well, it was
an
such an obvious lie in the Texas case, but,
UK, with the release of their documents, in fact, some of the documents, you have to go through it, it's going to take 4 years for them to release all their documents. Now, one of the reasons it's taking that long is because they are going through every particular thing, and they probably are going to pull out some ones that are very, very critical. They're pulling off people's names. Obviously, if you were interviewed for a UFO, you don't want everyone in the National Archives to know, you know, your age and your address and stuff like that. So they do have to go through these things.
But I would also argue that these are IFOs, identified flying objects, that the governments of the world, at least those that have very sophisticated remote sensing tools, have known this for many, many years. And after 65-plus years, we've come to a watershed of recognizing that some engineers, some scholars, even some astronauts are willing to speak up and look forward to the future possibilities that we are close to a tremendous breakthrough in consciousness and astronomy, cosmology, and accepting the fact that there are scientific civilizations in the high frontier of outer space that will interact with us, I believe, and Desiree certainly would concur, in the not-too-distant future. We are basically part of a roller coaster ride, and so we must fasten our seatbelts and recognize that in spite of some obvious dangers we face as a planet or humanity, there has always been this surge that goes ahead with contact with the higher messengers and the higher worlds of intelligence. That is,
well,
to say, those
maybe
connected.
Not always, because the planet really hasn't awoken out of its quarantine, but you're also saying, so let me figure this out. You're saying, well, on some levels, the planet's getting worse. Environmentally, we're collapsing. We're at a critical juncture there. And then there's this, maybe this other help coming. Is that what you're saying? Or we're awakening to a greater consciousness? How do we integrate those two polarities?
Well, ultimately, the keys of Enoch really were given in the 1970s to prepare mankind for the quantum leap we're taking on right now, or we're beginning to feel at this time.
And you have to go beyond the polarities of dualism or dualistic thinking to realize that we are in a multiverse, that we are multidimensional in our way we create and see realities that are emerging on our high frontier, and that there's a much different way that we must look at these realities, lest we be stuck in the quagmire of simply seeing negative science on one side or negative uninspiring religion on the other. We must see the divine spark.
So what the keys are really saying is that we're being advanced, literally as a civilization, to recognize not only that we are just one of many civilizations in the local universe, but that we're part of a greater plan of what we consider the divine. And so when you're asking how does this all fit together, there's an understanding from other levels of intelligence, and we'll say higher levels of intelligence, that the planet is going to go through changes. I mean, we know that some of it is solar flare, some of it is the magnetic field, not all of it is man-made, although a lot of it is man-made. There's, you know, this balance between all the things taking place. There's even realities of gamma rays or cosmic rays that may be affecting the planet. So there's these changes going on around us, some of which we can help, some of which we can't. And at the same time, we believe we're graduating into the understanding of that there are extraterrestrial realms of intelligence. They're starting to make themselves known. In fact, although they've been around for thousands and thousands of years. I mean, we have sightings of fleets of vehicles, not only in Mexico and Guadalajara, but appearing also in Peru, appearing as well in front of the space shuttles.
You're talking about the scientific community using high technology radar to confirm what is obviously a technology far beyond Earth-based technologies.
So we're awakening up to that, and so ultimately what we're also awakening up to is the greater reality that we are not alone in the universe, that we are part of a greater, what we consider, blueprint of life that exists in outer space, and that we are also multidimensional beings, and even our very existence is part of a divine blueprint.
But if this has happened, Desiree, and I would like to argue this from Alan's viewpoint,
yes,
why haven't they intervened before? I mean, why, if they've been watching us for thousands of years, why haven't they reached down to the fingerprints of the
Elohim?
That
is a good question, yeah.
To touch the human race.
Well, exactly. Now, what we're saying is that there's a timing on all of this. There's a timing on the changes of the planet. There's a timing on our evolution of science. There's a timing on our understanding of our spiritual consciousness. And all this is really coming together. And in a sense, it's not happenstance coming together. It's coming together because it's a whole greater plan of creation that we're awakening to.
So you're saying that the experiments have to wait to a certain season of harvesting.
Mm-hmm. You guys are awakening to it, and maybe I'm awakening to it, and maybe the people listening, but you realize there's a whole population that's drinking beer and watching football. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But you know, sometimes you talk to them, and they actually also are seeing certain realities, or they're hearing things.
True.
Look at Larry King on has done many UFO programs right now, and of course he always has the skeptical inquirer there as well, but technically he has many more people saying, yes, this is real. In Roswell recently there was a show that people on their deathbeds told their children, yes, I saw alien beings in Roswell in the 1940s.
Right.
So we're saying,
yeah, go ahead.
If I can continue just to brief overview, if we can see the orientation period of taking some 60 years to gradually imprint on the human mind that there is something that is far beyond the material realm of life qua life as simply being a material byproduct, we're beginning to finally see beyond the horizon an integration of consciousness and physics, an integration of music and consciousness, an integration of higher spiritual transcendent and interpenetrating experiences with the whole realm of waking up to why we are here, not as passive beings, but as active beings making incredible changes
for
future
science. Well, there's two questions about that, I mean, that I have, and I want to just throw out there. First, what is there for the average person to do? Not that anyone's average, but what is there for someone to do about all this if they're unaware or even if they're aware? And the other part of that question is, it seems like there are forces, I don't like dark forces because I don't believe in dark forces, but let's say governments that don't want this evolution to happen. So there's two. What is the average person, and what do we do about the forces that, yeah.
Right, although we might be talking about the collective planetary growth in terms of science, in terms of changes going on in the planetary system, but actually, if you understand that there is a divine plan of evolution taking place on the planet, it's also looking at the individual as well. And the Keys of Enoch in Key 204 talk about how even the very weakening of the magnetic fields, which scientists are telling are happening on this planet, actually leads to an opening of our consciousness. Now, for the people in the light, this opening will allow them to really tune into their higher nature, what we often call the over-self body of that being, so that they actually can, each one of them has daily decisions, can actually see how their life affects the universe around them. For those people who are not working on those levels, actually they are caught up in what we consider the chaos that also will be taking place, because people who aren't in the light will actually be experiencing all the various physical changes going on the planet, and it'll be overwhelming for them. So we ask people to really meditate, to do meditations on a daily basis. This not only helps them in their physical form, in their physical body, to keep themselves healthy, because it's aligning themselves with the higher vibratory frequencies, but it actually is also opening their minds to understand what they are to do in each moment of their lives. And each moment of their lives actually has to be a focus for them to choose to be the light, to choose to be the positive energy for the planet.
And when Desiree speaks of light, she's speaking of superluminal light or higher light creativity that is there in the greater scheme of things. Number two is this humbling experience of being nakedly aware of where we are in the awesomeness of creation so that we can be infused with other levels of experience. Number three is to recognize that this greater light experience, superluminal communication, is the synthesis between the scientific and the spiritual side of evolution that has been, as we're dualistically separated. And so we ask that consciousness be raised into higher states of creativity through extended forms of meditation that can be collectively celebrated. Number four, if this is put to music and energy, a networking is activated that brings about great breakthroughs in energy medicine and discoveries in a whole new type of sociology that sets a positive focus in motion that is not based upon negativity and the type of negative seance that we have continually being broadcast at us from the official media of television and radio that tells us simply to see the sky falling or everything going into a negative scenario. So it's basically the ability to see a positive future beyond the flotsam and jetsam and the ability to bootstrap life by seeing the great miracles of life that are unfolding before our eyes and all the great discoveries, including the discovery of the divine spark within each and every individual.
And if I can interject, you know, if we keep seeing the negative scenarios, actually the planet can literally fall apart. So we have to realize that people, especially in the West, who are watching the media, need to realize that there are changes going on, but see the positive pathway and do the positive things that take the activity to really change around the negativity into a positive light. So really it's up to the individual and the collective work together to make this a positive change, to see the new technologies, to go green, to go move away from the old use of energy of carbon-based technologies and go into hydrogen, go into buy your Prius, do other things that really are necessary for the planet, make the change themselves, and then collectively we really can make a difference in humanity.
So in short, it's the changes in lifestyle and behavior patterns, especially in building, transport, industrial sectors in the way we think in terms of a whole new language.
Well, I agree, and then there's the government. But let's, before we get there, let's talk about the way we think, because the way we think has to do with how we created the world. So what we need is truly a paradigm shift, as Thomas Kuhn pointed out in the early 60s in the Revolutions of Scientific Thought. When you change the way you think, you change the perspectives you have on creating the world around us. So what needs to happen? How do we need to think differently about who we are as individual humans, as a collective race? Seems like we need to recognize a group consciousness. We need to recognize that consciousness is non-linear, non-local. It's an aspect of a higher quality of ourselves. But what other things do we have to integrate into a greater belief system in order for us to uplift the planet?
Well, besides doing what you've just said, is to do it in technicolor and do it in music. In other words, to see the coat of many colors that these ancient texts speak of, Joseph's coat of many colors, to see that we have a garment of energy and experience, and as we construct ourselves through higher states of consciousness or expanded consciousness, we begin to construct each other as consciousness becomes aware of its greater power in synergistic relationships, in collective relationships, in total relationships. And as we begin to experience higher states of consciousness, the ordinary reality we see is not of one universe, but a harmony of phases of movements of an indefinite number of universes. We begin to see the collective totality or the mosaic, which combines everything from the subatomic particle to the consciousness dimensions of the greater cosmos that are now speaking to us.
Now, this is very important because you said we've always created our reality, and that might be true on an individual level. But for the most part, if you really go back through history, people themselves didn't do much to create some of the realities that they're in today. But we now, as people, having a greater knowledge, greater education, a greater say, we'll say with the Internet, can actually make a difference. So we can move our technology by being able to now buy cars from Japan, maybe not the cars being made in the U.S. And we have those choices. We can look at new technologies and move in that direction. We know how to meditate. We don't always have to just go a certain direction that someone tells them to. You can actually find information. You can go. We're more free to make the decisions we need to make. We're not limited in our decisions.
So we have an internet schoolhouse and a great universe that's opening up to us through microwave information that is uploaded, downloaded any place throughout the world. We're beginning to realize that we have a global consciousness that is being born here that's going to take us into amazing directions if we can work with a global ethic, if we can work with unconditional love towards all branches of the human society and conquer, as it were, the power paradigms of separation that have allowed us not to see the greater design of creation. What we call in the ancient text of the scriptures, particularly the Psalms, the tree of life that is planted by the waters of creativities, waters of consciousness.
Now,
so it's the growing up that's important.
So why is there these, why have we created these structures of governments that think, of course, not even just the UFO thing, the war in Iraq, that's totally out of hand. We've created these forces in our
field. Well, I don't know if we've created it as much as we've allowed it. See, there's different energies, as far as the Keys of Enoch tell us, in the universe. There's those energies that try to get power, and we'll move on to some of the other concepts in some of the other books we've worked with, which is called the power of self-willed. The self-willed one really has control on this planet. And those who aren't abeyance to the self-willed usually are put down. But we believe that this is a time of change, and we actually can overpower self-will into the collective will or the divine will. And so these are decisions we have to make. In the past, again, I don't believe, for the most part, a lot of humanity had choices.
Well, whose choice was it? We allowed those other
well, you might have allowed it, but in some cases, in other words, we were in our whole structure that we were raised and the conditions which we were brought up in, we didn't have the power to take power, so to speak. But now everyone has an ability to take on the power that within themselves and to do something. We can make more decisions. We can make changes.
Well, and changed? Can we do that now when we haven't been able to do it before?
Well, science has advanced, our ability to have the freedom of understanding a unity. Can you imagine years ago there was no knowledge even in some areas that there was even an Eastern consciousness of meditation?
And we're graduating from a carbon-based technology to a silicon-based life system. And so this greater connection that we're having with technology, the information revolution, the quantum physics is all coming as a result of many years of incremental change, of what we would call systematic crises, plural, that have forced the human psyche into areas of a local as well as a global breakthrough in finding the global mind, the global awareness that is so necessary. If I can go also to your question to Desiree, if you look clearly at the footprints of intellectual history, both in the West and the East, we find that many of them were open-ended structures at one time, in the not-too-distant past thousands of years ago, but they graduated into closed systems of authoritarianism and dogmatism and elitism. And
just take the caste system in India.
Controlling elites, unfortunately, in the name of traditional theology or philosophy, unfortunately curtailed the experience, the democratic experience, of understanding the great Eureka experience of discovery, what we will call the higher states of consciousness experience that must truly be there as part of the human creation.
So now, really, we have the opportunity to do almost anything we want to on this planet, and I believe we have the technology to do it, and we have the consciousness to do it. So now it's really up to us. And I think the last 30 to 40 years has actually given us that ability. For one of the things that we've been looking at, which ties into the Keys of Enoch, is that of regenerative medicine. And this is going back and using the stem cells to be able to literally grow back tissues and even parts of bladders. Scientists are growing back a whole bladder within a person.
Did you show me that video where these guys have this powder that's made from
pixie dust?
Or pig cells.
That growing limbs and fingers for sure. There was a finger that was grown
right
back.
And they're even working at making it like a Band-Aid, and when you put it on a system, then it starts energizing your own cells to be stem cells. So these are things that we now can do, so we can start healing and regrowing our own tissues.
That's incredible. Is that on the internet? Is that on YouTube? Just for people.
Right. It's
to
called
reference.
Regenerative Medicine, and the Army Medical Center is working on this in the University of Pittsburgh. And even recently, out in Seattle, this is a fantastic thing. Someone had melanoma that had metastasized in the body, and they took some of their own white cells and defensive cells, lymphocytes. And they actually made more of it outside of the body, and then they fed it back into the system, and they cured the cancer. I mean, this is a tremendous thing that just went on.
Well, this is part of what the Keys of Enoch describe in Key 317, or Chapter 317, that there will be a whole regenerative medicine, a whole ability to restructure the body anatomically, and Desiree could read the sections of the Keys if she wishes, but again, this is the importance of why we've been working for 35 years with the blueprint of the Keys that ties together biology, genetics, medicine, physics, metaphysics, and higher cosmology, because this is part of the larger blueprint that we are being given, pardon me if I can say this in a non-mythological sense, by the Godhead of divine experience that wills the human race into the next phase of consciousness, exploration, and life in the universe.
No, I just always felt the Keys of Enoch, the book that Dr. Hertog wrote, was far beyond, its years, I mean, in the sense that it really brought in the future. Go ahead, Desiree.
But what's unique is that, you know, we're in the midst of this evolutionary change, almost in the beginning of this quantum leap, and we don't realize that 50 years ago, and we'll say at the beginning when the keys were given, which is 30 years ago, people didn't have abilities to do any of this. They didn't understand how the magnetic fields could be shifting. They didn't understand how stem cells can grow back arms and limbs. They didn't understand even the sound frequencies. Recently they found out that there's radio signals in space, that even our Earth makes a sound from the aurora that goes out into space. It's a weird sound. And Saturn makes a sound, we've heard. And, you know, they didn't realize any of these things that were happening that we now know today. So this is advancing not only our sciences, but also our consciousness. And that's the most important thing.
No, and it's very exciting, the work you're doing. And I've always been hopeful about the future. I've always felt like, you know, we're not on a dead-end path. I think, you know, there's so much more miracles that are to come that will help us lift the consciousness of the body, of the planet, and of ourselves and with our bodies. I think we are truly coming into an age of enlightenment, and that's why I think the Keys of Enoch were a kind of dawning of that age of enlightenment. So,
right, and we're going to see that the fall, actually, or the traditional biblical fall, was really a fall into a limitation of consciousness on this planet. And we're getting out of the fall at this point, and we have the restored Eve, as some people would like to call it, and which is lifting us with the new mothering element out of the Earth into our cosmic consciousness, realizing that the original form of our species was really a light form, a light energy. And
but
that
we
we're
had
going
to
back.
Fall. You know, I mean, in a sense, I don't know, had to, but, you know, like T.S. Eliot said, we come back to where we first began and know ourselves, you know, for the first time. It's like the fall gives us this descent into matter and flesh, and ignorance has given us the wisdom to really be the masters of the universe. But without that, perhaps we wouldn't have known the magnificence of ourselves, you know?
Well, it's true. The fall, in quotation marks, is the separation from the divine, but it's really the fall of consciousness into a lower state of vibration whereby we do not recognize the divine vibratory language that runs throughout living creation, that connects us with the ongoing nature of creation and shows us that even inertia and gravity are creating the structure of life and the structure and substructure of the world as we stand upon it. Certainly, the breakthroughs in the new science, for example, is zero-point energy relationships. All of them are pointing to the background energy, the equivalent of the formlessness and void referred to in Genesis. The chaotic side can be transcended if we have the understanding that there is a much greater creation that we're connected with, a greater mind force that we're connected with, the greater multidimensionality we're created with. But if we have only a three-dimensional scheme of being localized as the only ones in the universe, with dissipating systems, with non-renewable systems, with negative systems, with systems of religious war and fundamentalistic fantasy, we will never get into the higher solutions that require an ecumenical embrace through divine love, through unconditional love, and through the experience of what we will call in the prophetic language of the ancients, the Coptic text, for example, the Christ consciousness that does work, the reality of the higher divine spark that does work. And so we are steadfast in our understanding that the keys point to a transcendental experience that will affect all members of the human race that decide to go beyond this chaotic phase that's important in the evolution of the human experience.
Right. No, but this is like a philosophical question. It's like the old spiritual chicken and egg story. Did we have to fall to know that, or could we have avoided that, or maybe who cares?
Well, some cultures seem to have avoided that in outer space, and that's the whole dictum of the recent release by the Vatican to the young astrophysicist from Argentina by the name of Fuentes, who tells us that there are life systems out there that do not appear to follow the same criteria as the human race. And just as Francis of Assisi loved the animals as brothers and sisters, we also must learn that there are life forms there that we can love with who might work with a different cosmology and theology.
Right. This is a very interesting release that came out in the official Vatican papers that the astronomer, official astronomer from the Vatican released the fact that, yes, probably extraterrestrial or other forms of life exist in outer space.
We're talking about May of 2008.
And they asked the question, well, you know, what does this do? Are they all saved or do they need to be saved? And he said, well, some of these civilizations probably don't need to be saved because they haven't fallen. And those that do need to be saved, either Jesus takes care of it or other forms of God's grace takes care of it, which is a really profound thing. And I think that's the reality that we're really talking about. So I commend the Vatican astronomer for waking up to the vastness of the cosmos.
That's interesting. Okay, so it seems like, it's all really coming together. We're building a new society. We're building an incredible consciousness. We're waking up to our divinity. When do you see it really coming online? And also, it's like, wow, imagine that really living
in that.
Well,
not so fast,
world.
Because we feel there's still temptations to bow down to the extraterrestrials, the space gods is the true God. There's still a temptation to ignore certain human responsibilities so that children die with food fresh in their mouths, unable to process because they have not been nourished by the right consciousness. There's situations where the nation states may still be involving themselves with geopolitical upheavals and situations because they do not see the greater plan of things. All of these things are not going to be so easy, and I would suggest to the worldwide listeners of this program that we're in for a lot of changes and somersaults. The Olympic of the mind is going to cause some people to go off the roller coaster in strange directions, and at the same time, we must realize that at the end of the roller coaster ride, according to the Keys of Enoch, there's the Merkaba, the divine vehicle, which is not a nuts and bolts or metallurgical craft. We are being prepared for graduation into another dimensional reality, which we will call the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension.
Right. So when's that happening? Is there a date?
Do you see this already at work within certain paraphysicists, within certain gifted children, within certain people that have exercised mind over matter, certain forms of healing, regeneration of effects, certain situations that we've mapped in Brazil with biogenesis, where people using certain energy codes and certain mantras can cause a chicken egg to hatch in a matter of minutes rather than hours or days. We've seen situations at SR International, a prestigious think tank back in the 70s and 80s of work behind the scenes of how steel bars and objects of metallurgy can be bent by the power of the mind. All of these, which have been in low profile, I believe, are coming to the fore because now we are waking up that this is a collective opportunity and not limited to the few, but open to the many.
So we actually think this is a space-time overlap that's taking place, and it's actually taking place now. We don't have to wait for the future when everything just completely falls apart.
But there's no timeline for Joe Sixpack to say this is going to happen at such and such a date. This is the schooling of the soul. It's an opportunity of service that's based upon a human commitment and not simply one for the rich few who can afford higher education.
So it's already happening.
Yeah, we believe there's signs in the fields for this. We were just, as you know, in the UK or in London area, and out towards Stonehenge and Avery was this interesting crop circle that scientists have looked at and seen that the form of pi is there. And what you do is you make it like a pizza, and you look at the wherever the zigzag is, you count another decimal. So it shows 3.14159265.
I saw that. That was fantastic because, of course, mathematics is the common language of the universe, all sentient beings.
As well as sacred geometry with the mathematics.
And at the very end, there's a circle, 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 three dots, dot, 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 just
right.
like you would say.
And key 215 of the Keys of Enoch, which illustrate this as way back as 1973 about the round numbers that would appear in the UK, specifically in the region of Stonehenge, that would dictate an understanding of the heliocosm or the greater cycles of which we are a part of which this language system in the seals is now illustrating as a language of experience and harmony towards a greater consciousness physics.
And this isn't a small crop circle. It's actually about 150 feet in diameter, and it's right in the area where many of the crop circles have formed. So, and pi is not that unique, and there's also times when a crop circle has appeared, a very unique one.
No,
Avery Truslow appeared on the 7th of seventh month and the 22nd day, so 722, or pi.
Right.
So,
no, I'm going to investigate the crop circles this year. I'm very excited about it. Maybe I'll even
do a
broadcast.
Well, please keep this
in
mind. This is at Barbary Castle. This took place the 1st of June, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And the three small circles illustrate key 215 of the Keys of Enoch in terms of concentric geometry and radial geometry. It's a very important fulfillment of the keys, and it shows that we are one step closer to this cosmic map of a higher language system that we are being taught, and this is part of what I will call the greater reality of not looking at the fields of destruction, but the fields of harvest.
And, you know, there are some crop circles I have to, you know, admit to your viewers that are made by humankind, so to speak,
on
the
planet. No, of course. Maybe we'll release my lecture about crop circles and the keys at some point, and if people can have that comparison of the keys.
But I was going to also address that there's a guy out there named Gary Hunter who actually felt on 777, which would have been July 7th.
Gary King.
Gary King. Yes. 2007, he should be out there looking at circles, and they actually had night viewing glasses and cameras and everything, and all of a sudden about 3 in the morning there was this burst of light, and you could see the field before that. It was just plain. There was nothing. And then right after that, within 10 seconds and when the light started coming up, you could see that there was a very unique crop circle that had appeared right on 7-7-2007.
Well, I'm hoping to be out there in 80808, and maybe I'll even be reporting from the fields because I think it might be an interesting event that might happen. But I do think the crop circles are signs from the heavens of our evolutionary pathways, and it's very exciting that we're given concrete evidence like that.
It's just one sign. It's a sign that there's an overlap, I believe, between the heavens and the earth, and that they are communicating and trying to show us that there are other levels of intelligence and beyond the extraterrestrial, because if they were extraterrestrials, they'd just be landing spaceships. But there doesn't seem to be sometimes spaceships in the area. There's no one else sighting the spaceships.
I think they could definitely, because I don't think the extraterrestrials are really from our dimensional reality. But let me just ask you a question about the nature of reality. So let's say we are living here with extraterrestrials and we have this amazing science. What does consciousness look like? How are we different people because we are living in the reality in this future to come with these beings, you know? How are we different with each other and our personal life? What changes? What do you feel changes in the fabric of humanity in relationship to the other when these things are embraced into a new consciousness?
Well, the activation of a higher consciousness is higher because it sees the ground plan and it sees the interpersonal relationships of all branches of humanity as continually changing, then the connectedness between the branches of humanity and the singularities are part of this great mosaic that is being seen with all of its beauty and all of its individual realities, which constitute a continual process between the infinite mind and the human species. In essence, the consciousness that we're speaking of has a type of transparency and has a type of revelatory nature that is helped by music and helped by what we will call higher levels of divine language, i.e. divine mantras or divine expressions of the names of God that make us aware that there is a interpenetration with all aspects of life.
Yeah, but and how are we different? Who are we? Who are we in relationship to that? How do we think differently and act differently?
Well, I think we're already moving into that.
It's the supernature that dawns with the changing of consciousness. It's not a static relationship. It's not something that's a two-dimensional blackboard exercise of mathematics. It's the situation of letting go and letting God. It's the situation of getting beyond negativity and negative thought forms that have a certain type of psychic magnetism that pull us down into something that surges into the future, into a higher creative side.
And also, I think we see ourselves collectively. We have to see ourselves interconnected as a humanity on this planet. And once we see that interconnectedness, we can understand that oneness that we are and understand also that there are other life forms that are going to be able to share with us. And some are going to be positive, just like people on this planet. You're not going to share with everybody you're walking across the street with, but some people you really feel akin with, and others you feel, well, you know, he still has something to grow up on. So you have to realize when you encounter other life forms, you're going to encounter different life forms. They're not all going to be one way. They're going to be different. And that's something that we have to start evolving and understanding. In addition to that, we feel beyond even the extraterrestrial, even if they are operating on the fifth dimensional levels, that there are entities that evolve and work beyond those forms, or even beyond any physical forms, even in what we would call maybe the 12th dimension of string theory. And these beings really don't have to take form. They don't have to come here, but they can still send their thought waves, their thought consciousness to us. And so there's many levels of intelligence that we are starting to awaken to. And by opening our consciousness to this, we also have to have a discernment. And that discernment tells us how to work in a greater universe.
Well, the discernment, though, is a practical one. You don't want to maybe go walk in some neighborhood at certain times. I mean, you know, we have discernment on a human level. So I think discernment, as we spiritually evolve, will be naturally part of that. But it must seem like the universe is teeming with intelligence and all forms of intelligence.
Right, and there's a certain harmony of nature and supernature that we're beginning to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the sensitivity we develop with our consciousness expansion that allows us to feel the energy of what's imprinted already in our DNA RNA as a musical signal that connects us with every individual on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
We realize there's one person on the planet, that is humanity. It connects us also with the sound structures of other life systems through the universe, which points to the collective intelligence of life. It's something that goes beyond words, word pictures, into actual levels of experience where we realize we're no longer gravitationally trapped light and matter bodies, but we are part of a spiritual anthropology, evolutionary experience.
But besides that, what Emily Conrad, the creator of Continuum, says, that we are fluid beings and our fluid systems are the real ground of our physical structures, and that fluid is resonant with all fluids within the solar system, within the galaxy, and fluid systems resonate with each other. So even before we get to the spiritual level, if we just recognize our fluidity and how that
Under infrared photography in South America, we found that many of the life forms that appeared around the healers were like energy envelopes of water.
Mm-hmm.
The fluidity and the transcendental brightness that was there was seen in terms of the energy outlines in the infrared photography that my late colleague, Dr. Puharich and Henry Belk from the Belk Foundation were able to document back in the 60s and 70s. So that's beautifully said, but the thing is we can now begin to see that they, our cosmic counterparts, are here, and it's no longer poetry. It's actual physical reality moving every cell within our body to wake up into the larger soundscape of life.
But ultimately, of course, we have that oneness of consciousness. We can take our mind, our thought forms, and project anywhere we want to. We know we can project it around the planet. We can project it into outer space. But I believe we should actually project it even beyond that. I think we should project it into the divine realms of consciousness so that we can bring down some of that divine thought into this planet. In a sense, we are biotransducers, I believe, and we are constantly picking up thought forms around us.
I agree, but we shut them off because we're not ready or we're not prepared to somehow understand them or deal with them. But
we're not reaching we're not even reaching high enough, as high as our potential is. We actually have an unlimited potential. I think people don't think that. I think they feel themselves in what the keys call a bottom below consciousness that they can only be within themselves.
The higher harmonics of nature are not understood and put into an intellectual black box by those who think they know the realities. And so what we're saying is, along with all of this, the intellectual mind must give way to the creative mind, or the feminine side that must be awakened. And to that end, we at the Academy for Future Science have created many musical experiences with great composers.
Talk about, though, the power of music, because, I mean, I think I understand you guys very much connect to music, but I don't really get how that music, even though it's nice, how deep that musical harmonics really go into penetrating consciousness and creating a shift of transformation. Talk about the power of music.
Yeah, I think you have to look at the work of Emoto, who's done the work with the water molecule. Well, and he hasn't just done it with thought, but he's actually taken the water and placed different words or sounds or music around it.
But
and
I think your work goes way beyond Emoto's, because he said his is not even a science. What you've created is a science of harmonics, and I'm more interested in that.
If you look at some of the higher vibratory frequencies that he puts it around, then it becomes this beautiful water geometric crystal. If you put it in lower sound vibration, say the cacophony of the earth, it becomes this kind of ugly type of formation. Now, you can take that and you can also join that to the Hans Jenny image, where you have the sound frequencies forming various geometries. What we're doing is really trying to augment also the body with sound vibration.
And this is why people need to go to our website, ketamino.org, and hear the great symphony of sound that we have created with the Living Capstone CD, or the Celestial Awakening CD, or even the spiritual liturgies of the ancient names, the Metatron and Jesus, to show that there's a higher communion that takes place with those who are tuneful to the astral, the spiritual, the paraphysical levels. If you go to New York Times, for example, for October 24, 2006, you will see a short interview with my work with Alice Coltrane before she died, of reaching to the super soul. And I think that's really what we need to do, go beyond just the basic attempts of our friends in Japan to show the basic structures of nature, to realize the crystalline structures embedded within all vibratory circuits of our body can be awakened, and we can put on this light body. This is the glorious challenge that awaits each and every one of us, to realize music and physics and biology can converge.
But give it to me very practically. Okay, we have these sounds that are music, and what? So I'm listening to the music you've created. Maybe you can play it before we finish the show, just in the background. And so I'm listening to that music, and what's happening to me as I hear these vibrations?
I think you have to get back to Emoto, because 70 to 80% of the body, depending on your age, is water. Uh-huh. So as you listen to these sound vibrations, the water crystals literally within your body, water is basically a type of almost triangular geometry, H2O is a three-element structure, is actually changing the way you energize and you think, and you can literally heal your body.
So what you're saying is there are sacred geometries within the body that are being activated by certain sounds. And these sounds cannot be produced by ordinary situations, but by those that can be meaningfully orchestrated.
Well, the more
but they're also changing by thought. Thought is also changing the structure of our...
thought works also with sound and frequencies, because we are those biotransducers. So when you can bring in the harmonious balance of sound and frequency and even higher vibration, you actually not only can change the physical structure of your body, but you start augmenting the consciousness structure. And I believe some of the sounds that we tune into actually are linkage points between the heavens and the earth, that you actually tie in almost what one would call the music of the spheres, or the sound vibrations of the energy, such as, why do we say the name of Michael for the archangel? Actually, Mikaelu is a beautiful name, and it is actually a vibration that literally calls down the heavenly forces.
Well,
that
that's the power of mantras in the Hindu tradition as well. They can create certain...
Exactly. And it doesn't mean some angel really leaves this space and comes down here. When you use that sound vibration, you actually are linking to his consciousness, and his consciousness actually links with you, so that you're creating this energy linkage with sound vibration. So you actually bring energies together and around you. So you can think about negative thoughts and then be caught up in the cacophony of the earth, or you can think about angelic thought, angelic sound, heavenly choirs, and link your consciousness with the higher heavens, and literally do it.
Well,
I mean,
we should do a whole show on higher heavens and the beings that exist in other realms. This is a show on, just a program about that.
But sound is like that. I mean, sound is actually, the higher sounds actually link us with the higher spheres.
Well, do you have any music right there that we can play as we kind of go out? Do you have anything that you can just play into the... into your
might be a
telephone?
Little bit difficult with our sound system here. I can try to work something out.
Try to work. We just have a few minutes left, and as we finish up, Dr. Hurd, just give us a vision of where the planet will be in 10 or 15, 20 years as you see all these forces taking place.
So as we visualize the higher light circulatory system reaching out to us from the universe, as we realize going higher and higher into the cosmic creation, we begin to realize that we are hearing the music, the background music that shapes all of the basic structures of life. And as we reach into this soundscape of creation, we understand the great thrill and the great purpose that we are essentially beings of music. We are part of the cosmic orchestration of life. And as we see within our mind's eye, the whirling solar system within our own body and mind being expanded, we go forwards into the galactic mind, into the supergalactic mind, into the supergalactic mind, until we begin to see all of the variations of the divine within the human. We rise to the occasion of the blessed sounds of the divine Elohim. We recognize the background sounds of the transition we are going through presently, whether we use the sacred music of India or China, Tibet, ancient Israel or Egypt, or the Native Americans, we realize the golden ratio, the principal vibrations the great scholars and mystics understood in the alphabet of creation as giving us the spiral of ascension and unity and purpose. Divine, eternal lover, we ask at this moment that this music, this great and glorious use of sacred patterns of sound and vibrations now converge into a language of creativity. And now we hear the voices.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been talking with Dr. J.J. Hertog and Dr. Desiree Hertog from the Academy for Future Science. FutureScience.org is their organization.
The sounds echo into our soul, and we hear the voices from the higher world sing to us. What John the Divine speaks of as the new song comes into our hearts and spiritual vision. The Psalms of King David for the ascent of the soul comes into our experience.
Thank you both for being a guest on New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Please email me at newrealities@earthlink.net or my website, newrealities.com. I welcome your response, and let's just listen to some moments of this ascending vibration created by the Hertogs to uplift the planet.
The names of the Divine Mother, the sounds of unity of East and West,
Thank you.
O beloved one, bless all who hear and partake of the coming of the new worlds and the vast landscapes of creation. Let the sounds indwell within us, and may we be prepared as cosmic citizens to be part of this cosmic chorus of voices that reach across the universe and tell us that we are one in unity with you, O Divine One.
And let us see our true higher identity as being part of that of the stars, of the higher heavens, and of the divine Godhead.
Thank
and
you
so
both.
It is.
And so it is. So be it. Amen. Thank you both for the beautiful work you're doing to uplift the planet and to reach those that are in need to hear a greater message. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and I've been talking to Dr. J.J. Hertog and Dr. Desiree Hertog for the Academy for Future Science, futurescience.org, and this has been New Realities. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next week. Okay, thank you both.
Thank you.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-582-5604.